Good day, everyone. Thank you for watching this presentation on Swiss Re's group solvency under the Swiss Solvency Test and Solvency II. My name is Patrick Raaflaub. I am Swiss Re's Group Chief Risk Officer. As a Swiss insurance group, Swiss Re has been reporting its solvency under the SST since 2008. The SST became legally binding for all Swiss insurance companies in 2011. It was also the first regime to gain full equivalence to Solvency II in 2015. It is important to stress that equivalent does not mean equal. SST and Solvency II are conceptually very similar. However, there are important differences between the two methods. As a consequence, an SST ratio cannot be directly compared with a Solvency II ratio. In this presentation, I will show you how Swiss Re's group SST ratio translates into a comparable Solvency II ratio. Currently, the difference is about 90 percentage points. This comparison is based on our interpretation of the EU Solvency II requirements as we implemented it for our legal entities in Luxembourg. It was not externally reviewed and was produced on a best effort basis using Swiss Re's SST calculation for 2016. SST and Solvency II share many similarities. For example, both frameworks are risk-based and apply an economic balance sheet approach. Under an economic balance sheet approach, assets and liabilities are valued on a market-consistent basis in order to derive the available capital. The approach is risk-based as we use our internal risk model to measure the required capital. If the available capital is greater than the required capital, the company holds regulatory excess capital and has a solvency ratio above 100%. Despite these similarities, SST and Solvency II differ in key aspects. These differences can lead to a significant divergence of the solvency ratios. I would like to focus on the six differences shown on this slide, as they explain the main difference between our group SST ratio and the comparable Solvency II ratio. There are also other differences, such as the deduction and aggregation method or long-term guarantee measures to address cyclical volatility under the Solvency II framework. As Swiss Re follows a strict economic view, we do not apply these adjustments in our Solvency II assessment. On this slide, you can see the walk between our group SST ratio and the comparable group Solvency II ratio. When applying the six main differences, our group SST ratio currently translates into a Solvency II ratio of 312%. This is about 90 percentage points higher than the SST ratio. Let me provide you with more details on each of these differences and how they impact our group Solvency II ratio. The first difference between SST and Solvency II is the way run-off capital costs are recognized. Run-off capital costs compensate for the required capital during the run-off of the liabilities. On the economic balance sheet, they form part of the liabilities. However, SST requires run-off capital costs to be added to both available and required capital. Not adding these costs increases the solvency ratio by about 38 percentage points. The second difference is well known. Solvency II uses the 99.5 value at risk measure, also called VAR, which represents the loss that will likely be exceeded only once in 200 years. SST applies the 99% shortfall measure, also called tail VAR, which represents the average of all annual losses that occur less than once in 100 years. This is represented by the blue area below the curve in the graph. For insurers, 99% tail VAR typically represents a higher loss than 99.5% VAR, as their portfolios include significant exposure to rare but severe events like pandemics. For Swiss Re's risk profile, the difference between the two measures is currently estimated to be 2.4 $1 billion. Using VaR instead of tail VaR decreases the required capital. This leads to an increase in our solvency ratio of about 42 percentage points. The next difference relates to the fact that some risks are modeled differently under SST and Solvency II. An important aspect is the way we model run-off capital costs. Under SST, they are based on 99% tail VaR, while under Solvency II, they're based on 99.5% VaR. In addition, SST acknowledges diversification at group level, while Solvency II does not. As a result, SST run-off capital costs are lower than under Solvency II. This impacts both available as well as required capital. Required capital is further impacted by operational risk, which is not explicitly modeled under SST, but is quantified under Solvency II. With regard to credit risk, Swiss Re reflects sovereign risk in its internal model and is therefore compliant with the latest EIOPA opinion. Under Solvency II, credit spread risk can be significantly dampened where the regulator allows the application of the deduction and aggregation method or long-term guarantee measures. However, we do not use these measures in our Group Solvency II assessment. Currently, the modeling differences shown here decrease our solvency ratio by 10 percentage points. There are also a number of valuation differences. The largest impact results from the usage of different yield curves. Under SST, discounting can be based on own risk-free interest rates approved by FINMA. Solvency II requires discounting to be based on credit-adjusted LIBOR swap curve and applies ultimate forward rates. The main impact of this difference is on available capital, but it also affects required capital. The direction and magnitude of the impacts depends heavily on the shape of the yield curves. Swiss Re applies its own set of risk-free interest rates, which are approved by FINMA. They are based on government bonds. We do not use ultimate forward rates and do not apply any long-term guarantee measures. Currently, the Solvency II curves are lower. This results in less available and a slightly higher required capital. It decreases the solvency ratio by 18 percentage points. Finally, SST and Solvency II differ in their treatment of taxes. SST is pre-tax, while Solvency II is post-tax. On the economic balance sheet, future profits are recognized as unrealized gains. The tax debt that corresponds to such an unrealized gain is recognized as a deferred tax liability. While not relevant for SST, deferred taxes form part of the liabilities on the Solvency II balance sheet. This decreases available capital. At the same time, the loss-absorbing capacity of deferred taxes reduces the Solvency II required capital. In most cases, the solvency ratio increases from this change, even though the impact on required capital is usually smaller than the impact on available capital. Based on our calculations, the post-tax view increases our solvency ratio by about 37 percentage points. I hope this presentation provided you with some clarity on the important differences between the Swiss Solvency Test and Solvency II. Even though both frameworks apply economic and risk-based solvency principles, the resulting ratios are not directly comparable. Swiss Re is very strongly capitalized under both SST and Solvency II. When comparing public disclosures, it is important to bear in mind that an SST ratio typically translates into a significantly higher Solvency II ratio. Swiss Re has been actively engaged in SST and Solvency II discussions for many years. We work closely with regulators and clients around the world to support the development and, more importantly, the convergence of economic solvency regimes. Thank you very much for watching this video.